Welcome to the OIS Podcast, where you get candid conversations with the leaders and drivers of ophthalmic innovation. And now, here's our host, Tom Salemi.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the OIS Podcast. This is Tom Salemi. Thanks for joining us. I certainly hope you joined us yesterday. It was OIS at ASCRS yesterday, and it was our largest event ever. Close to 600 people attended the event at the Sheraton downtown Los Angeles. And it was a great day. We're going to be bringing you some terrific coverage from the event, both things that happen on stage and off. And for now, though, we wanted to give you a quick wrap-up. I had the pleasure of sitting down with our co-chairs, Emmett Cunningham, Gil Kleiman, and Bill Link, just after the show. And they went over their highlights of the day and their assessment of the event overall. So I'm going to let them speak to the event. I won't talk any more about it other than to say we're very grateful to all those who attended. Very grateful to our sponsors as well. Our elite sponsors, Aerie Pharmaceuticals, Alcon, Johnson & Johnson Vision, and Zeiss. And our premier sponsor, Shire. And of course, our many major sponsors, Allergan, Bausch & Lomb, Novartis, Piper Jaffray, Regeneron, and Sun. So there are many, many sponsors on there. Please do go to OIS.net to check the list. We're honored to have them as part of our event. And we're very grateful for those who spent the day with us in Los Angeles. It was a great day. So let's get into this conversation with our co-chairs.
I think this is, Emmett, this is our largest ASCRS?
It is the largest ASCRS, up about 20% from last year. So 100 more than last year, roughly. And up, I think, double from the very first ASCRS. And maybe the 16th or 17th OIS. So we've done a few, and it's been good.
Do we attribute this to anything in particular other than the charming chairman?
Yeah, the chairmen are amazing. You know? I think
I heard Gil say that.
The word is spreading. Yeah. So. No, we're so fortunate that we've struck a chord in the community, and I'm nourished and satisfied by what all happens around the OIS meeting. It's partly driven by content, but not fully. It's who's here. It's worth their time. I've had several people say how much they get done during an OIS meeting.
Excellent. Well, those are good reasons to come. Gil, you opened the door for it in the morning with your presentation. How do you think you did?
I don't know. I've got to keep watching Twitter and see what the answer is.
Never watch your
Twitter. It was really fun to do it. I mean, it's hard to tell, you know, not being in the audience. But I learned a lot just by creating the talk and I think it seemed to mesh well with later what the actual content of the meeting and some of the discussions were. So it was a good kickoff.
Terrific. Well, we had the great company presentations, but going to the device panel, Emmett, what was your takeaway from the device venture world?
Well, I think everyone acknowledges the headwinds. There are some headwinds on the device side, but I was optimistic when I heard that there are more Series A's than there've been in a long time. So early investing is strong. There's as much or more money overall in the sector as there has been. So I'm optimistic. It's not to say that every deal will get financed, but the good ones will, I think.
I talked to John yesterday, and he had an interesting analysis, PMA versus 510K, and the investment performance of those. I think that sounded like an interesting breakdown.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that the point he was trying to make was that the 510Ks that were bought for a lower multiple and took longer to get to that exit, mm-hmm. which is counterintuitive to me. And to be quite honest, I'd have to see the analysis. I think it was an analysis of the successful 510Ks or the exited 510Ks versus the exited PMAs. Mm-hmm. And so there may have been three times as many PMAs that didn't exit because they failed. I don't think that's the case, but it was a very top-level analysis, and we didn't have the time to really dive into it. But what I left thinking, the high-value investments are going to pay off more, and generally PMAs are higher value because they have more data, they're therapeutic filing. So maybe it's there. It's the first time I saw it.
And Emmett, you were going to make myopia great again. How did that go?
Yeah, it was a really interesting session that had some surprises in it. I think the topic hadn't really been discussed before, focused on low myopia, which is why we did the panel. And I was surprised by the audience polling that we did that showed that people thought the major barrier really was safety and not patient motivation. Hmm. whereas I would have maybe thought the opposite. So it led to an interesting discussion around what might be safe, and sounded at the end, the audience polling was they thought there was a lot of potential for Pixel, because although it's still early in its clinical data, it has the potential to really be the safest for low myopia.
Terrific. And Bill, the master's panel went well, I thought?
It seemed to go
well.
Some
new blood on there?
Yeah, we did a bit of a rotation of participants. For example, one thing we're going to begin doing, and we did it the first time here, is we have an up-and-comer. So it's not just the well-established industry leaders. And so Glaukos, for example, was represented by the CEO, Tom Burns, and I thought it added value too, and gave some diversity as well. Shire was nicely represented, a relatively newer player in ophthalmology, already making a lot of headway. Joe Papa, I appreciate him coming first time to the meeting, and he dug right in, was very solid and candid and direct with his engagement, and so it added value.
I appreciated your questions too. I thought they were the right ones to ask, and they were done in a very respectful way, and Joe handled it particularly well, I thought.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that I decided to do was to be pretty direct with some of the tougher questions, try to not do it in a harsh way, but everybody's thinking and wondering, so why don't we ask?
I think Tom Burns took a politely strident position to your question about being an acquisition target.
Yeah, he handled it as a public company CEO just right. So,
any takeaways for you, Gil?
Well, I think from, you know, the opening talk was really around the just explosion of innovation that we're seeing, especially in the front of the eye, and then how the innovation cycle, as we've talked about at Ascaris, has really turned, and there are so many companies that are now really commercializing and becoming almost like small strategics, focus as a prime example, and how that meshes in with what the large strategics are doing. So I think it really was a nice meeting, because it really played to our mantra of bringing together all the different constituents of large companies, small companies, clinicians, investors, and there were a lot of good learnings.
Excellent. And I mean, as Bill likes to say, this was all your idea to begin with, so we'll give you the final word.
Yeah, and actually Craig and I sort of had the very nidus of the idea at the beginning, but very, very shortly thereafter it became a team sport. And we couldn't do it without Craig and you, and there's a lot of support, and I will use the term brand building, but the brand, or as it's recognized now, is many, many people. I was struck today by the Ed Holland's dry eye presentation, and in particular he showed a graph that sort of state of care in the 90s, which were lubricants and warm compresses and maybe some expression of the glands, to today, where we have over a dozen drugs in development for dry eye, and we have now two approved drugs, and we have a device approved for dry eye. And I was struck by the fact that that was a space that 5 years ago people would say, wow, that's a hard indication. People just avoided it. And the same we saw last year with the MIGS. It was really the first year that it dawned on me that despite what was a longish arc to approval and commercialization, Glaukos has now exploded out and created a field that's going to be massive in the space. And so sometimes it's really hard to look forward and see just how impactful an innovation is going to be and how much it's going to spawn. It's only in that when we look back in retrospect that we can see that. And I was just struck by that on the dry eye space. It's good to see. It's good to see these spaces mature in that way.
I think it's one of the things that might be unique about the meeting is, I think, either through serendipity or sometimes a little bit through strategy, we brought markets to light for the audience that actually allow strategics to see markets that they might not see otherwise. This happened maybe further back with femto cataract and then with MIGS, and now I think with dry eye, and maybe next it might be refractive or some of the myopia topics that we talked about, where they have very good BD groups that are looking at known markets, but sometimes they're not as well positioned to look at the unknown markets that are coming up over the horizon.
And also, I think the glimpses at the early companies, you know, we don't have all of them being especially early stage. They need to be meaningfully down the path, the innovation path. But I found myself again today, you know, noticing that, okay, we're showing, you know, we're giving an opportunity to a very young company to show what they're doing. And it might be 10 years from now that that'll be a category, you know. And so to me, that's part of our mission, and it's exciting.
I do think myopia, it's clearly here to stay. If the numbers are true, and I haven't looked them up, I believe they could well be that half the planet will be two diopters or more by 2050.
Yeah.
That's beyond a mega mark.
Big deal.
And that's real. You don't have to treat many people to be a multi-billion-dollar company. And beyond that, there's all the burden of disease that goes with that. That's affecting so many people. So the problem is we don't understand it well. We don't understand truly the mechanism, the drivers of eye growth. And I do think blur and near vision use, and people talk about outside activities being a modifier and lessening it, et cetera. We know some things, but we don't have real druggable targets in the senses. Atropine works, people tell me. And there's at least one company that couldn't come here today for the meeting, but they have low-dose atropine to try to prevent progression. So I think we'll see more of that. I like that space a lot. I think it was a good idea to start talking about.
And I thought Dick Lindstrom's private equity panel was a nice new twist. I think a lot of people are definitely interested in that space.
Yeah, the new twist on an old idea, but maybe it is different this time. So yeah. I think it is interesting that opposed to the cycle 15 years or so ago with physician practice management companies, there might be enough things that are different now that actually it could be successful with physicians being a bit more fungible in how they work within a bigger organization and some of the externalities that make having scale be more advantageous. So it's going to be interesting. We clearly have a whole new generation being born right now of physician practice management companies, and will they attain the goals that they are seeking? Be interesting to see.
And, you know, one of the reasons we wanted to feature it was we're trying to understand the activity and the trend, if you will, but also see what the ripple effect is on innovation. And so I think that I bet we'll want to feature that as an important topic, not maybe at each meeting, but occasionally to do an update.
Yeah, it's one of the big barriers to innovative technologies is getting it adopted at the practice level. And a lot of our companies are frustrated that a technology works well, it has tremendous patient benefits, but it needs to be integrated into the workflow in order to really be successful. And perhaps in a larger, more corporate format, there would be better ability to rapidly deploy something really as a kind of enterprise sale into a much larger entity. Mm-hmm. And that would be a virtuous cycle for everyone, for patients, ophthalmologists, the companies with the technology. It'd be terrific.
Although you don't necessarily see that on the device side with some of the larger hospital groups, they tend to be less accepting of new technologies. So,
well, but that's what could be different is for the physician practice management companies, it's a growth opportunity rather than a cost center, and it could turn things really completely around.
Excellent. Well, we covered a lot today. No wonder we're tired. Well, thank you so much for joining us in a wrap-up. Great show.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
And that is a wrap. Thank you, co-chairs Cunningham, Kleiman, and Link for joining us on the podcast and for sharing your thoughts. Thanks again to everyone who attended OIS at ASCRS. It's always wonderful to see an event grow, and we hope to break 600 next year. We came very close. So, again, thank you to everyone who attended the event. Thank you, of course, to all those who were on stage sharing their thoughts and insights. This isn't a success without your help, so we do very much appreciate that. As I said at the top, thank you to our many sponsors. I invite you to go to OIS.net to check the list. And finally, thanks to podcast listeners for joining us. I hope you enjoyed the overview. We'll have a video of the interview as well. You can, if you're subscribed to our OIS Weekly publication, you'll get that, or you'll be able to find that on OIS.net. Plus, we'll be sending more content from the event. We're working already with our content team to put together real concise and poignant video reports from the event. So keep your eyes peeled for that. If you do want to see them, sign up for our OIS Weekly publication. Go to OIS.net and you can subscribe there. That's it. Thanks, everyone. And we look forward to seeing you at our next OIS.